Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, welcome to the Truth and Power Corner. How you all doing today? How is everybody doing? I got my brothers coming in. It's one of my favorite times of the day. So if you want to join us tonight, call in at 516-387-1549. And listen in to join the call.
The truth be all up on ya. It spreads just like corona. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. We spread the knowledge from Memphis, New York to California. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. Free the land by any means, truth and power corner. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. Yo, this is real, it's not a dream, truth and power corner. Dropping black facts at this exact hour. Hear the bill of nation, call it black power. Raining knowledge down like a black shower. Standing tall for the people like a black tower. We take the system down and build our nation up. Ain't no replacing us, ain't no erasing us. We got the system shaking cause they be facing us. We showing world love cause they embracing us. We fight for independence, freedom is what's intended. See, we didn't start this war, but we about to end it. Our nation, we defend it. Yo, best believe we winning cause we always speak the truth no matter who offended. Cause they been lying to us and they mistreating us. Holy be beating us. I think we've seen enough. Long as we stick together, then we will never fail. Come on, let's fight for freedom and build a better world. The truth be all up on ya. It spreads just like corona. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. We spread the knowledge from Memphis, New York to California. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. Free the land by any means, truth and power corner. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. Yo, this is real, it's not a dream. Power.
We are gonna always continue to fight because this is our protracted fight. Salute to all of our political prisoners, POWs, elder comrades, and exiles. We are not doing enough to get them home. They are still suffering and being tortured and murdered daily. What are y'all prepared to do? Salute to all of our grassroots black media platforms and our sisters and brothers that continue to bring us the knowledge and information to keep us connected. Thank you all for your hard work and service. Salute to Republic of New Africa, Madam President Sama, Madam Vice President Mama Aya, and our officials, ministers, ministries, leaders, and citizens of our new African nation. We encourage each of you to check us out at our website at pg-rna.com to find out more and how to support and donate to the nation. Free the land.
Ashe, Ashe, welcome. Free the land. Welcome to the Truth and Power Corner. Thank you all for joining us tonight. We have another episode of Meet Our Nation. All right. Tonight we have some very special guests that I want to introduce you all to. Like we said, you are tuned in to the New African Broadcast Association, NABA. We are building a black media platform for our people. We need to propagate for our own and get our own message out. We need to take over the narrative. So we're going to get on into the show tonight and we're going to welcome our special guest. I'm so excited to have my family here with me tonight. So I'm gonna start opening up the lines. We're gonna start with gonna bring everybody in. So I wanna welcome to you all and reintroduce to some of you all. This is the Ida B. Wells District Unit. We are working, conscious working citizens of the Republic of New Africa, and this is my unit, my family. So I want each one of y'all, I'm going to let y'all come in, I'm going to give you area code, and I want you to introduce yourselves, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we're going to get started. Area code 929, come on in, sister, introduce yourself and let everybody know who you are.
My name is Sister Coco.
calling in from Georgia. Recently moved to Georgia. I'm from New York. I'm a conscious citizen worker with the provisional government. And, you know, currently I'm organizing out here in Georgia. I organize with a local organization that seeks to liberate local communities for, you know, more specifically New African Black communities, which is called Community Movement Builders. And I also organize with the Black Alliance for Peace, which is an anti-imperialist organization that works locally and internationally for the liberation of Africans. And so in addition to that, I'm, you know, I put in most of my effort and, you know, putting in the work, study and training with our unit. And so I yield on that.
All right. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for joining us tonight. All right. Area code 901-292. Your mic is open. Come on in and introduce yourself and tell us who you are.
Sweet Land, Mama Ayo, conscious citizen worker. I work under the auspices of the Ministry of Health and Society. We have an initiative here in Ida B. Wells, Rhythm of Life Wellness Ministry. We work with everybody, just all kinds of organizations. And, of course, I'm First Life President and PCC rep of the People's Center Council. Free the Land family, how you?
All right. Welcome, welcome. All right. Area code 901-570. Your mic is open. Come on in, introduce yourself, and tell us who you are.
Free the Land, this is Sama Ott, conscious citizen worker out of Ida B. Wells, currently serving working diligently within the Ministry of Health and Society, currently serving as district rep and president.
All right. Welcome. Thank you all for joining me. How y'all doing tonight? How's everybody? I'm going to say happy family day because I don't celebrate these holidays, but we were with family on yesterday. How was everybody's day yesterday?
Great.
It's good. That's good. Cause I want us to get on into the show. Cause I want each one of y'all. Like I said, it was a pleasure, and I had so much fun last weekend meeting with you all for our face to face, our November face to face. I want each one of you all to tell us your experience from you know, being in Megas Eversville and how y'all enjoyed the face to face last weekend. And we're gonna start with Sister Coco. Go ahead.
See the land. So for me, I think the experience was actually it was necessary for me to be face to face in Megaversville, given the history of the location of, you know, what has happened in that part of Mississippi historically from our nation all the way through what's currently happening in Mississippi, in Jackson, Mississippi. In regards to the water crisis that has happened. And I think, you know, coming to that part of the territory face-to-face, it was a really good opportunity for us to have that conversation, that dialogue around ways that we can think and develop our nation and thinking in terms of what it means to be in specific key parts of the territory, specifically Megaversville, Eversville, and what that potentially could look like. And I feel like that conversation during the call that we had, I think that, you know, there was a lot that was a lot of ideas that, you know, can grow from that, a lot of ideas that were presented and that can grow from that. And, you know, again, just being able to connect and have these conversations, I think it definitely it sparked something inside of me in regards to the type of work that I feel should be implemented moving forward. And in my role, when it comes down to supporting the nation building efforts of the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa. So, and I yield on that.
I say, most definitely. All right, go ahead, Madam VP.
Of course, it's always a pleasure and very honored occasion when we get a chance to assemble in Medgar Evansville. This is when just citizens, I mean, conscious citizen workers, citizens who are curious, citizens who just want to touch base, come together, because there's nothing like assembling at a good time, having some great conversations, learning a little bit more about each other, or, you know, just how our heart and minds are able to come together. And even though we may not be, of course, in alignment with everything we talk about, because everyone has their view and vision, but yet at the end of the day, we establish kind of like that common mission, that common aim through each and everybody's perspective. And most of the time it's a new African perspective, gaining pieces of information about the history, the culture, and kind of applying it for what we're facing today, what is needed. And it's good because we have elders that come together, their children are with us, and other new African citizens coming, talking, sharing. I'm always excited and actually humbled that we are here during this time meeting and still continuing a mission. And with that, I yield.
I say. All right, go ahead, Madam President.
Well, the face-to-face is always a wonderful time to link with brothers and sisters that are diligently working to build this nation. You know, it's always good to link, share ideas, build upon what is happening. That's as far as I'm going to go into that.
All right, I got you. Like I said, it was a pleasure, most definitely, and I love the unit that we are building and growing. And I have learned that work study and training is a very important asset in my life, because it's teaching me a lot of things. So I want each of you to weigh in on your perception of what work study and training means to you and how important it is that we should implement it in our lives. Go ahead, Sister Coco.
Yes, Lynn. You know, as someone who is relatively new to the nation as a conscious citizen, you know, I find it very important for me to have a very concrete foundational understanding of how the nation, you know, began, and what are those foundational documents that come from our elders and our ancestors who, you know, had a vision, saw land, saw independence as a focus, and put that onto paper, you know, not just paper, but into, you know, action, right? And so those, you know, those things, you know, whether it's that or whether it's constantly, you know, elevating my consciousness of you know, where we're at in this oppressive nation, as far as politically, you know, the type of political power or lack thereof, and, you know, the lack of economic power that we should have. So, you know, putting in that work when we go into our communities and when we're you know, meeting the people where they're at, what does that look like? And I find that, you know, work study and training is a culmination of various efforts that I feel all conscious citizens should be doing, right? I think it's how can I have any say? How can I really truly understand what needs to get done, right? If I'm not even putting in that work, right? Whether it's being within our people in the community, or whether it's actually studying and having a good grasp on why I'm doing this work and how ways that I can propel this work forward, right? And so, and then training, you know, and the physical, the mental agility that is necessary for us to push this work forward. And so, you know, having that discipline, because it does take discipline, and it takes a lot of discipline to show up and be consistent. And it's something that I feel like there's a lot of accountability that comes with that. And being accountable and in service to my people, our people, is something that I find to be very, you know, that accountability is very important to that. So, you know, and that's that's how I see it. And I think all people who want to help build, you know, the New African Nation should be engaged in that as well. And again, you know, this work, study, and training is already, it's the foundation is already there. We just need to pick up and actually put it into practice. And so the theory is already there. We just need to put it into practice. And I yield on that.
I say, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I was. Okay. I'm waiting on Melly Queen.
Okay.
Is that Brother Bach here?
Yeah, I apologize. My mic was muted. Let Brother Bakir come on in and introduce himself, and then we'll go on, and then I'll let you answer, Mom.
Okay, no problem. All right.
Okay. Come on in, Brother Bakir. Introduce yourself. Tell us who you are. Tell us who you are. Come on in. How you doing tonight?
I'm absolutely African. Can't be much better, you know?
Ashe.
Riding on my way home. But my name is Bakir Taye Hembe, and I'm from New Orleans. I've recently moved to Alabama, some land, you know, with the intentions of establishing a black township. I was already situated within one of the first, you know, the five southern states of our territory, our national territory. But I wanted to make an effort to, you know, take a piece of land from ground up to, you know, really model the commitment and the capacity to build for ourselves, so that you basically take a clean slate and you know, make the life that we want. So just a quick background about myself. I've, you know, lived and worked most of my life in New Orleans. I'm an educator, father of 10, family man, really love my children, love my people. My all of my efforts are because I love African people, not because I despise anybody or envy anybody or any other group or whatever. I just really want us as African people to experience and live the kind of quality of life that we desire based on, you know, African values and standards and principles. So I'm just jumping in. So I heard Sister Coco finishing up. So I don't know what direction y'all were going in, but I'm going to leave it at that and, you know, enjoy the
Thank you for joining us. I had asked a question on the importance of work, study, and training, and so I'm letting each one of you all weigh in on that. And Madam VP Mama Ayo is going to answer next, and then you can just, you know, fall in line with us, okay?
Okay.
All right. Go ahead, Madam VP.
Well, as you know, Melly Queen, under this present administration, that is one of the strategies that we are asking new Africans to implement wherever they are, as a way to begin the process of just becoming new African, to shake off the chains of white supremacy and racism by going in, making sure you work on yourself, implement the creed, always analyze lives using dialectical and historical materialism. So work, study, and training at least allows you to download by reading work to manifest. If we say this is what we are about, here's the work that has to be done in order to get us to where we say we are ready to stand and defend our nation, establishing our nation beyond contradiction, and making sure we implement the Malcolm X doctrine. So it's on so many levels that you begin to build your family, build yourself, heal, and implement all of the things that have to give you that empowerment to stand and defend and to be ready and to do this work, because it's not going to be done by just the talking. It has to be done by the work. And then we go into our training, which is making sure that we stand ready to defend ourselves, establishing the nation beyond contradiction. And that simply means that, you know, as new African people, you know, we have the right to defend our community, protect our community, be honorable to our women and our children and our elders. That's building community. That's beginning, again, to build the new African family, the new African nation, the new African race, loving on ourselves, making sure our children have everything they need, providing all everything we need for a nation. What does that look like? That looks like you and me doing the work and encouraging our brothers and sisters that this battle is worthy, because we're implementing the laws of Ma'at, and we're implementing in Nguzo Saba, and we're actually, as President Sa says, looking at the blueprints that have been laid down, using our most updated eye, our critical eye, our spiritual eye, to analyze and chart our way forward using these foundational documents. So it all is like a circle, this circle that we have to be on, making sure we're healthy, making sure we're healthy, that we're doing everything that's necessary. So the work, study, and training, that is one of the answers, because everything is being built upon. We're becoming organized. We're becoming loving. All that. So, I just see everything from that basic unit of organization that Kwame Ture always called about, organization. And then Republic of New Africa has at least established a plan, a declaration of independence. Everything we need. History. So. For me, it's exciting to be able to be in a unit. It is the best training that I can think of. I haven't found, I, Mama Ayo, I haven't found anything better. Become cadre, to become leaders and teachers and leaders, and, you know, coming together in the spirit of true work, you know, collective work and responsibility and cooperative economics, everything, unity, everything. So I haven't found anything better. And with that, I yield.
Ashe. Ashe, Ashe, exactly. Go ahead, Madam President.
Yes, indeed. Unit work study and training is extremely vital because, you know, our particular government is built upon collective leadership. The unit is actually the microcosm of macrocosm. This is where we study the documents together. We analyze them together so everybody can be on the same page. We learn how to work on community projects together. We learn how to make collective decisions. We learn each other's strengths and weaknesses. We train together. This is where we actually become family. This is where we learn the we concept. It's vital. And you really don't know how vital it is until you step into a nation that's built upon collective leadership and built upon a universal concept of building. You know, nothing in the universe works alone. So it's brilliant. This is why I said the working infrastructure of how our nation is set up. So it's always interesting when people battle you on unit work study and training. And it's such a vital, integral part, just like all of the other comrades mentioned. It's exciting. It's exciting. You will never get that type of training anyplace else, but in a unit. It's very empowering. It's very provides just such a strong foundation to stand on. And I yield back.
Ashe, Ashe. All right, come on in, Brother Bakir.
Yeah. So as was stated, you know, study and training is critical to our advancement, particularly in the context of us, you know, remembering and regenerating ourselves. I think Sister Mama Ayo, you know, made mention of the fact that there's a lot has been already laid out by our ancestors and elders, that all we have to do is, you know, move in the position and carry them out. So the study and training, you know, it takes us from theory to practice. You'll notice, you know, in a lot of our conversations, it's a lot of theory being tossed around. We talk about, you know, the things that can be done, want to be done, should be done, and so on and so forth. But until we actually put ourselves in position to carry them out, they'll stay, you know, in theory as it has been. So I enjoy the fact that, you know, those of us who are on the calls, who meet up and, you know, go through the various documents, that we strive to uphold and strive to live as examples and models of. There's a camaraderie that is built up, you know, in that process. And in fact, everything about the studying and the training is a process. It's a process of growth. It's a process of, you know, coming from, you know, our ill conditioning you know, as we've been living in a peckerwood forest, and into a state of
I say,
you know, and to a state of you know, wholeness, as we work to build an actual nation. Like it yeah. So I'm gonna stop right there. But all that to say, the study and the training is absolutely important and critical to our advancement.
I say most definitely. Like I said, it has changed a lot of dynamics in my life, where I'm able to communicate better with people and a lot of things. So I totally agree with everybody weighed in on. We already know that our war is one that is just, we've been warred upon since day one, since we stepped on this, you know, land, right? And our main goal is freeing the land. The land is power. So in freeing the land, we are doing, this is what we are working towards. Like our people, and sometimes I get frustrated because we don't understand the importance. Like, we still voting into their bullshit. We still voting into their systems and things like that. These other people don't even vote because they understand their power and what, you know, their processes and what they have to do. I want to know, how do y'all feel about, like, us freeing the land and getting the power that we need and the political power that we need? How are we going to accomplish that? Because I'm like I said, sometimes I get frustrated. I'm just going to put it like this. So I'm going to let you start off, Sister Coco. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a tough question. You know, who has the right answer? But I do think often about this question, and you know, and I see a lot of people out here. I'm in a lot of different spaces, I guess you could say. You know, and everybody has their own, you know, thoughts on what liberation looks like. What, you know, and for me, it's interesting that when we approach, you know, that this term of freedom, right? This term of freedom, we have to understand that it's not assimilation, right? I was listening today to something about freedom versus assimilation. And you know, as a society, as African people, new African people here in society, we've already seen what happens when you assimilate into society, with the forced assimilation that has happened, you know, just like the forced citizenship that has happened historically. And so when we think about historically what has happened since, you know, chattel slavery has formally ended, right, in the way it was, you know, enacted, to how new Africans here have been, you know, subjected to, we can run down the list of what all new Africans have been subjected to, and when you don't assimilate, right, even further, what happens, right? There's no political power in assimilation, right? You might have somebody who stands at the podium and has some type of say, some type of voice that exists, but there's no political power that's happening when you assimilate. And so when we talk about land and independence, you know, when you think about it, the only viable form of freedom that has ever happened for any African, even on the continent, has been independence. And you know, when we think about any of the freedom fighters, when it comes down to any freedom fighters on the continent of Africa, they fought for independence and to have control over the resources that were within, you know, their own territories. And so when we think about that, you know, New Africans here do not have any type of power, you know, and as people who, you know, who have the right to self-determination, who should have the right to be self-determining, should also be considering how we organize ourselves to also have the power to self-govern, right? And I think that that's something that, you know, for me is very important that I've uncovered throughout my studies is this idea of what it means to be self-governing, of self-governing people, to have control over the land and the resources, to be able to control how we engage with justice, right? Let's just even talk on justice, a perspective of justice, right? We can't achieve any type of justice, right, within the oppressor nation. Why our people are locked up? Why our people are policed, right? There's no control over the police, or, you know, there's no control over our communities, right? And so when we think about this, you know, what does it mean to be independent? What does it mean to have land? And when we think about how our ancestors were enslaved, were forced into servitude to build this nation, right? To build this oppressor nation. When you think about that, when you know your history, right? You know that this land was built upon by our people, and we have no rights. We have no rights over this land. We have no rights over our own bodies. We have no rights over how we live, how the access to resources. We don't even have that. When we talk about Jackson, Mississippi, and the water issue, I mean, that's not the only place that has an issue with water, right? When we think about what's going on throughout this oppressor nation, New Africans have no access or rights to damn everything, right? And so it's up to us to be self-determined and to, you know, obtain that type of political power where we are able to control the resources, where we're able to, and this is nothing that, and what's misinterpreted sometimes is there's a hostility, right? That's anti everything else, right? But it has nothing to do when you love your people, like, you know, Brother Bakir was saying, when you love your people, right, you want to see the best for your people, right? And land and independence, having the control over that, over your own destiny, should be at the forefront of our struggle. And I yield on that.
Ashe,
most definitely. Go ahead, Malayo.
We always say, when we say free the land, by any and all means necessary. So when we talk about, as Sister Coco is talking about, our vision to be a free and self-determining people, we are a nation. We're getting ready to establish a state of new Africans. We are getting ready to launch ourselves as our Declaration of Independence and the preamble teaches us, and the aims of the revolution, and of course the 8 strategic elements has laid down our course and our path. We are getting ready to launch ourselves into the world in which new Africans have control, which is a nationalist pan-African agenda, international actually, because we will be uniting with all nations who seek to establish a different order to our lives. We're not going to be Catholic. We're not going to be white supremacists, black supremacists. We're not going to be that. That is not the nation that we are getting ready to establish. We are getting ready to establish a socialist, a scientific socialist, which is really communalism, which is really based on African, new African principles, which is really based, again, on the laws of Ma'at, the Nguzo Saba, the creed, international law. So when we talk about our power, yeah, the power is going to come in seizing or getting the land. The land is going to be repurposed. It is going to be given because we're going to the world courts. We're going to the United Nations. We are free and self-determining. We have established our national boundaries. We are going to be sitting down with indigenous, of course, and Aboriginal nations, everything. And when we talk about our vote in this country, that was given. We had no say. We didn't come to the polls. When did we get the vote? When did we get to really vote? If you talk about history, when did we really get to vote? When did we vote to say these are the areas that we want? There was a field order number 15 attempting to parcel out what is fair, 40 acres and a mule. That was rescinded, of course. That was rescinded. It was taken back, revoked, not honored. Let's use that term, not honored. So there was never any ability, except in a few specific cases, for us to settle on the land, to help build our land, to talk about how we would like to live on the land. It's always been under a capitalistic, imperialistic, white supremacist system. Even to gain that vote, look what had to happen. Our vote, yes, we do have political power in certain instances. That's why we're looking at the five states. If you're in a township, a city, that you control the vote, I think it's very necessary that you have new applicants. Make sure you understand as we're not about assimilation. We're about separation. So as we gain political power in some of these areas, we find the people who have our best interests at heart, hold them accountable, as Sister Coco was talking about, that accountability, your specific duties to your people, not excluding any people, but your specific duties, particularly in these townships that are run 65% or more of our people. You must put the key people in place. You must be able to build on the land, because you, as a person who is sitting here having to pay taxes and everything that we do, because this isn't emotional, this is scientific, because we're scientists. You have taxes that you're paying, whether you like it or not, on every single thing, from a piece of gum to some cigarettes to some beer to some wine, blah, 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 blah.
I say.
And your vote is supposed to be your one right in the right circumstances. I'm not asking people to go out and vote, and you still got a mindset of black people who want to do white folks' work instead of looking and making sure you look over your shoulder from which you come to make sure that you understand that you're put there to make sure that you're a steward, a good steward. You don't let things happen to the community that is not beneficial. What does that make you? And you sitting up and somebody has voted you in to a seat. What does that make you? And you going against the tide of your people to make sure that things are being passed down, that we have our roads, good housing, you know, taking care of the seniors and everybody else. And then everyone else under your constituency should be given a fair share. We get nothing. We get little pittance. So in these townships, particularly in Mississippi, which is what we claim to be our center, it is critical, because Mississippi, as well as other little townships in Alabama, a whole bunch in Louisiana, begin to understand what our role and function is, new Africans to ourselves, for building our own nation, utilizing everything is reparations. That's why we say by any and all means necessary. It is how we scientifically utilize our reparations, how we are entitled to certain things based on who they say we are. until we step out and have our pesticides. You use it to the best of our ability. Right now, Sister Coco was talking about, politicians and all these other people, they are aspiring to be petty bourgeoisie. This class struggle that we're in, we are the proletariat. We are the workers. Everybody is a worker in our society. Everybody's in a worker. You're put in positions of responsibility to the people, and that you should do your best. But everyone is a worker in this society. Everybody is going to have to play their part. My answer to whether we vote or not, vote with purpose and with the plan in order. I yield.
I say, yes. Go ahead, Madam President.
Free the land. The things that sometimes I don't think we don't look at this from the perspective that we probably should be looking at it in order to make major power moves. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we look at it like, yes, we are the people and we are amongst the people, yet sometimes we have to stand above and look at the whole situation and really figure out what those particular power moves need to be. You know, because the U.S. is one of the most powerful nations in the world based upon the reality of the U.S. It's built upon slave labor, and it's built upon our ancestors' labor that came from every ethnic group in the world, right? So every expertise from a melanated perspective has been put into this particular nation. And if we collectively decide we're going to redirect our power and our energy and our gifts and our talents to us, and I think that's our responsibility, is to get our people to redirect their gifts and their talents to something that benefits them, that benefits the all, you know what I mean? That's our major challenge, is to, in conversation, when we put to ask the right question, sometimes we don't lead with the right question, in my opinion, based upon what people really, really, really care about, right? You know, it's like how Malcolm says, you put a clean glass of water up against a dirty one, the clean glass don't win every time, you know? Yet we have to give that full spectrum visual, you know what I'm saying, and come to the table showing how everybody wins, you know, because a lot of times, That's another training. We'll go into situations. We'll talk to our people. We'll attempt to negotiate situations, and we're still coming from an individualistic, capitalist, selfish perspective. Yet what we are building is a total opposite. So when you put something on the table and everybody wins, they see how it benefits them, not just them, but their children's children. Yeah, that's a lot more palatable. You know what I'm saying? I really think it's a time right now where our language around what it is that we're building has to shift to a more transparent interpersonal conversation. You know what I'm saying? More intimate conversation. And deal with our 100% realities. And this is just my observation. You know, sometimes we're not as interpersonal as we may need to be to pull our people to their own side. And I yield back.
Ashe, most definitely. All right, come on in, Brother Bakir. I was just asking. With us freeing the land, you know, our people are still, you know, voting into this system and, you know, still waiting on these people to do something for us. And I want you to weigh in on what your importance of freeing the land and us getting the real political power that we need to achieve that. So go ahead.
Right on. So as it was mentioned earlier as well, you know, our tendency to want to be included in this society as it is. Like, if we really honest with ourselves, most of us Africans in America really just want a different attitude towards us. We want a different opportunity, or not even an opportunity. We want a different sharing of this big rotten apple, right? Like, we know this society is corrupt and wicked by many measures. But I say it often, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know, taught that 100% dissatisfaction brings about 100% change. And most of us really, we only dissatisfied with where we are with the way things are run. Like, if we had more of the spoils, we wouldn't be fighting. We wouldn't be, you know, we might be a little angry, but not, you know, I make that statement because it's very few of us who have the gall or tenacity to, like, step forward and, you know, work towards doing something different than what we are already experiencing. The whole idea of political power inside of, you know, this society, it's like we find ourselves playing two sides of the board in the game, or playing, you know, two or three different games. And if we don't figure out how to really immerse ourselves in the role of actualizing a different faith, a different nation for ourselves, which is why part of your question was, you know, why do we basically, I mean, you didn't say it, but why do we, you know, holler and greet one another, free the land? Like, the land is the foundation, it's the base of who we are. And we have to be able to amass ourselves inside of the territory of that land. The citizenship of the republic has to be recognizable and acknowledgeable by the citizens, at least. Like, we're not going into the same places. We're not retiring, you know, into the same places. We're not starting from the same places. And so, you know, we unfortunately are running into one another by chance and happenstance. So, again, the idea of political power is a burden for us to bear in light of amassing ourselves in a physical sense. Like, one of the issues for us, unfortunately, is many of us want the privileges of power. And I think Mama President said it, or maybe Mama Ayu, but many of us want the privileges of power and not the responsibility of power. And especially for those of us who are in this, you know, moment of time, following behind, you know, what Baba Amara Obadeli and our, you know, our founding fathers and mamas, you know, put into place. Like, we have to understand that it's not just a right, but it's an obligation and responsibility, which means that we're going to have to do some things that we don't really enjoy. Not that we don't enjoy doing it, but there's some difficulties that we have to overcome. There's some pain in it that we have to, you know, muscle through to provide happiness, not just for ourselves and our families, but Africans who we have never even, you know, had the opportunity to encounter or meet. So the land is important. Like, it's I personally, I think that all of those of us who will call or consider ourselves conscious, working citizens of the Republic need to figure out some way or another to be involved and engaged or engaged in some land mass within the five states of our territory. Like, that's just a charge of mine. Like, if we know it to be true and real. There's ways, like you, as the question, you know, was posed, Mama Melly, that when we amass ourselves with intention in some of these different towns and cities, then we can easily, you know, take control over the local government of those places that we amass ourselves. So as Sister Coco said, I call it Kuji, not just me, but it's Kuji Tawala, right? Swahili terms that means self-governance. So to get Kuji, you know, full Kuji Tawala, it's like, okay, let's find the places, determine, you know, who we are, acknowledge ourselves, recognize ourselves, and be ourselves. And then, you know, replicate that over and over and over, knowing that a lot of us are coming out of some sicknesses, so we're going to have to do it. But we deal with those sicknesses in love, and not allow our enemies to use those sicknesses to cause us to do harm to one another unjustly. So I'm a close with that and yield.
Ashe, most definitely, because our revolution is Ashe. And like each one of you were talking about Malcolm X and the Malcolm X doctrine and things like that, it leads me to my next question, because I wanted to ask your thoughts on Pan-African Revolutionary Nationalism. I'm learning that term, and it's going to take all of us, right? It's going to be a global effort once we get in line like we're supposed to, because it's going to take all of us to make this happen. What are your thoughts on how do you look at? I want to know how each one of you view claiming our nationalism, because we are all African. That's how I look at it. I don't care where we at on this globe. Like Kwame Ture said, wherever you at, you African. So how are we gonna? It's the difficulty is in achieving that unity. How do y'all look at that in your views on Pan-African Revolutionary Nationalism? And I'm going to start with you, Sister Coco. Go ahead.
in the land bringing the heat with these questions. thankfully I do study, and I can answer this question. And so in my studies, I have read, you know, Kwame Nkrumah and, Amilcar Cabral, and, you know, and thinking about what, you know, revolutionary Pan-Africanism, and even thinking about, you know, this idea of unity that even Marcus Garvey had proposed. And so when I think about the work that, you know, a lot of these African nations had put forth, the one thing that they recognized is there was something shared amongst the people that were around them, right? A culture, an identity that existed, right? And although we are all Africans, and we all have, when you think about like what, you know, Africans across the globe has experienced, right? As far as the, the domination of the European, right? When we think about that, it was always important for, you know, various African people, right, to establish a nation, right, a nationality, right, in order for them to fight off or to to gain independence from, right, the colonizer, right. And so when we think about, you know, these efforts of independence, you know, and there's definitely, you know, some nuances when it comes down to what it means to be independent, right? Because if you think about all of the debt that comes with independence, you know, being tied to these loans and these banks that are controlled by Europeans, right? Sometimes you really, you question, you know, what does independence truly look like, right? And so if you study anything like, you know, African Ujamaa, right, from Tanzania, and which is something that I firmly think more people should probably look at and study and understand. But, you know, thinking about what it means to be a nation, what it means to be a people under a specific circumstance. And there's various nations because there's various circumstances, various people who have a specific set of needs that might not look like the next African. The Caribbean might have a different type of need than somebody in, you know, on the continent of Africa or here in the oppressor nation of the United States. And so when we think about, you know, us as New Africans, as a colonized people within a colony within a colony, right, we have to recognize that we have, you know, we have a shared identity, we have a shared cultural identity, a shared experience that is unique to the people who were forced here, you know, through that Middle Passage and landed here, very specifically here in, you know, various parts of this territory. And so when you think about that, you know, and thinking about what it means to, identify the nation and what it means and what a lot of these, you know, African leaders were trying to tell us and what these ideas of Pan-African struggle is that we are all Africans, right? And therefore we should be united, right? Because the European is out there uniting, right? That's what NATO, that's the work of NATO, right? And the European is organized, right? The fascists are organized, the fascist agenda, right, continues to gain popularity, right? You have Africans who support fascism, right, whether they know it or not. And so when I think about Pan-African unity, I think about having the ability to sit at the table with our brothers and sisters from other nations, right, and to determine what is best for African people. And if Africa can't be free, and we probably will not be free. And so we have to think about in terms of broadening our perspectives of how, what does freedom look like, you know, and being able to determine as Africans, even though we have various different nationalities, right, within the African diaspora, right, people who have different experiences from different regions of the African diaspora, but that unity to be able to stand strong against a power that has subjugated our people for a very long time, right? And the European, you know, and has conquered, you know, a large portion of our people, right? And so that is something that I believe in. If we have to not only develop our own nation to stand in unity with other nations of the African diaspora, and I think that is just it's a foundation, right? We have to be international in our perspective. We have to be local in our perspective, and we have to think about what it means to fight for not just us, but for our people, right? Holistically, because if our people, no matter what part of the globe, no matter what part of wherever they're at, if they are suffering, we are going to continue to suffer. And if we do not want to suffer, they should not have to suffer either. And unfortunately, it goes back to that idea of assimilation. A lot of people feel comfortable in a society that is assimilated to European value, the European value system, which is horrific. It is horrific, right? To dehumanize us, right? We are not human in the eyes of the oppressor, right? To take away our humanity when we have our own humanity. We don't need them for our humanity. We can regain a sense of humanity, right? Gosh. Just by the principles and the values of our history that is African. That we cannot find that within this current system. I don't care what you slap on. I don't care what kind of civil rights you slap on anything, right? We cannot be human. We cannot be our whole selves under the European rule of law. That is not possible, right? It's not possible. And so we have to recognize our African selves. We have to recognize us as a nation within a nation here. And then we have to recognize our African brothers and sisters that are across in various territories across the globe, right? And we have to recognize that we have to work together, right? Because we are not going to be, we do not have every resource available to us in order for us to engage in this type of struggle. We need our brothers and sisters to help us in this struggle. We need to know that, you know, our struggle is their struggle. Their struggle is our struggle. We should be supporting each other in order for us to win this fight. And that fight is land and independence, right? And the fact that you have a lot of people if you really think about it, we built this nation. It's not our nation. We don't have any rights to the nation, but we built this nation. We have the skills. We have the tangible skills to build our own nation. We have the skills to build our own nation. We have the people, the skills to be able to do so. We have no power over our skills. We have no power over our own bodies. We have no power over our own resources. We have no power over the resources at which we work on, the land that we work on, the land that we build. And so it continues to this day that we have no power. And so, when I think about it, we have to, you know, that unity is definitely important. And what does that look like? How do we unify, you know? I mean, we have to be able to build our own nation. We have to be able to support our people, right? And we have to put in that work, and we have to, you know, really think critically of what it means to actually build for our people. And I think that, you know, these are ideas, and these are ways that we should be thinking, because there's a lot of people out here that will speak on Kwame Nkrumah, and they'll speak on that, but I don't hear none of them talking about independence. And that's the first thing that that was the work he was doing when he became to power. When he became president, he fought for independence. Most people are reading the work that he did when he was in exile.
Exactly.
But nobody is talking about independence from when he was working for independence. He worked for an independent nation, Ghana. Was not that these nations, the names of this nation was created You can hear all these African leaders talk about they created a nation for
Thank
independence.
You.
We should be working toward that. We should be thinking in terms of that. And I yield.
I say. Go ahead, Mama Vice President.
The whole issue, which I totally agree with Sister Coco, is that's our ultimate aim, is to build a nation, but definitely be a part of what we call the New African Liberation Front, the New African Liberation Movement. It is very, very important that we understand that our, as Sister Coco was saying, that our independence is tied up with the entire what we call diaspora independence, as well as the African continent. It's just part of who we are. We say we are nationalist Pan-African freedom fighters. So we have already identified who and what we are, and which means that we've identified our mission. When we talk about reparations, of course, we talk about reparations to reinvest in our nation that we are building, the five states in the South, and anyone else who's a part of New Africa, whether they live inside the national territory or outside the national territory, will be involved in the reparation movements. Will be fighting. Will be casting their votes for our independence. And at the same time, we will be networking and reaching out to all sovereign nations. Because let's be quite honest, when we talk about political power, when we talk about independence, when we talk about economic empowerment, all of us in this country and abroad, every single one of us are under the guise of neocolonialism, white supremacy, racism. There is not one place on this earth that has not been affected by that in some form or fashion, unless you have clearly identified yourself as socialist, communist, et cetera, et cetera. And even then, there are still those political nuances that are out there. When we talk about who we are as nationalist Pan-African and freedom fighters, we are number one goal is to make sure that capitalism, imperialism cannot flourish when we're in places where we say we are free and independent forever. We determine what comes out of the earth. We determine how that is going to be manufactured and produced. We determine who we trade with, how we are going to establish our political alliances and our relations. We control our waterways. We control every part of what we say we are, because if people are under the understanding or the comprehension that we're going to be depending on the very nation in which we want to step away from for all the basic needs, then that's an illusion. That is not what we're about. We're going to be providing electricity or whatever kind of power, water, shelter, clothing, building our own. And that's why I'm in agreement when Sister Coco says every person who has a skill, no skill is too minimal to build the nation. Everybody is needed. Everybody has a purpose and a function. But the ultimate goal is to be free and self-determined. That is going to take a nationalist challenge. Can you imagine that there is restrictions for doing business with brothers and sisters outside of the national territory? There is a restriction for us doing business with Africa. There's a restriction for even the countries of the Caribbean just to trade with each other, because each one has a neo-colonial master that's working in concert with each other to say, oh, you mean to tell me I can't exchange my herbs and coconuts and bananas and plantains and anything else that comes out of the earth? I can't do trade with Trinidad, Tobago, Guyana, Virgin Islands, Bahamas, Cuba? We don't have that right? What more for the us doing interstate trade here in New Africa? No, we definitely have to align ourselves and must understand that that is who we are, nationalists, Pan-Africanists. Because remember, according to our definition of reparations, our people can choose to be here in New Africa, to be in a system that's going to be outside of the national territory, whatever that looks like. Our people have the right to repatriate to Africa or anywhere else they so choose. That's a human right. That's the ability to travel and settle wherever you want. This man has done that since time immemorial. Who is to say you cannot do those things? That's making sure we are in alignment with our brothers and sisters who are a part of the international community, national community. We should have those agreements. That's the people who carry passports and identification from the Republic of New Africa. We have those rights. You have a right to come into our national territory as long as you live by the laws. Those are the kind of things that we have to think about, because that's part of organizing ourselves into being a nation, a sovereign state. And with that, I yield.
I say. Go ahead, Madam President.
Yes. You know, this war that we're fighting is most definitely is a global war. You know, it's a global war against white supremacy, a global war against capitalism, imperialism. So, you know, everything that's around us right now is literally molded by the world, you know. Business that's taking place in the world. Now, if we say we want to be independent and basically rooted in self-determination, self-determination is an international law, it's a human right. We have the power to determine whatever we want at any given time as a people, period. Now, it's up to us, the ones in leadership, the ones that know, are the ones in leadership, right? That's on the phone. It's our responsibility to make, I would say, an extremely bold move in name of the nation. Literally, it is what we will it to be. You know? And that's the thing. That's the beautiful thing about it. So I give thanks when we have brothers and sisters such as yourself that take this real serious. That know it in their being, that's like, look, we have to do this. It's our responsibility. We have to move collectively so that we can make collective righteous decisions for ourselves, for our families, for our nation, and for our race, ultimately. Because if we are to win, because remember, this is our earth. This is we are the keepers of this particular planet. And if we are to win this war, we have to link with our other brothers and sisters in different nations, because we have the same enemy. We have to link our forces, link our gifts and our talents, have those courageous conversations, as Mama Ayo always says, and be straightforward, you know, really, really straightforward. And it's important for us to strategically plan for whatever movement we want to do. You know, it's always an internal that prepares you for the external. You know, so as we work diligently on our local level, we most definitely foresee this as a global work simultaneously. You know, it's important for us to think about strategic ways to reach our people, to reach the masses, you know what I'm saying, in a creative, you know, like that's our responsibility as scientists, like Mama Ayo said, you know what I mean? Like these are the different things that we work on within our units. These are the different things that we strategize and work toward, you know? So I just look forward. And that's really and honestly, if we want to win, which we are, then it's vital. It's vital. Are you that?
I say. Come on in, Brother Bakir.
All right, catch me up on a question one more time.
No problem. I was asking about your thoughts on Pan-African revolutionary nationalism, the need for us to connect globally with our other, you know, African brothers and sisters in this war that we're in. So what are your thoughts on that?
Right, that's exactly what I thought. And all of us are vitally necessary. I often, you know, I have a lot of friends that are, you know, different formations, religious, political, you know, different kind of organizations. And I'm always, you know, speaking to our collective commonalities, right? The only time you'll find me given any pushback or opposition to is when that African does not desire to see himself or herself as African. And a lot of the movements these days, you notice they start bringing up, you know, well, I'm, you know, this kind of person or that kind of person, and, you know, we're not from Africa, and, you know, all those things. So I'll have the conversation. I'm not trying to convince nobody, you know, that they are what I think they are, right? All you have to do is let me know where you stand. Even if you say that you are not an African, but you are in allegiance with melanated people, that is acceptable to me. When I know, when you know, like you don't want to call you say you don't want to call yourself African because you're indigenous to Turtle Island, for instance, you know. Africans are indigenous to the planet, period. We are everywhere. Just like the Peckerwood has bought himself everywhere, we are everywhere on this planet. And so that is, you know, I think one of the vital things for us to, you know, stay abreast of and stay in full understanding of, you know, how to recognize, acknowledge, and accept ourselves, and also how to recognize, acknowledge, and accept those who don't want to be us, right? And just be cool with it. Like, if it means that you become my enemy, then you become my enemy. If it just means that, you know, you on another side of the field, then, you know, so be that too. Just don't stand in my or our way as we, you know, continue to seek advancement for ourselves and our people. So, yeah, that's what it is.
Shay, like I say, I thank you all for joining us tonight. This has been a great, great show. I'm going to open up the lines and see if we have any of our callers want to ask any questions. And while I'm doing that, I want everybody to understand that we are tuned in to the New African Broadcast Association, NABA. Mama Ayo, when we get ready, I want you to tell us about New African Nations Day and some of the things that we have coming up in the nation, okay? But I'm going to open up the lines right now, and we're going to start with caller 667. Your line is open. If you have a question or a comment, you can all come on in and join us. And how are you doing tonight? Thank you for joining us. Come on in.
Free the land. I'm glad I tuned in tonight. I really am. Shouts out to everybody online. our president, our vice president, first vice president, Sister Coco, and the brother online. I wrote your name down. Give me a second. Brother Bakir.
Yes,
yeah, yes. Brother Bakir, man. Shouts out to everybody, man. I'm really feeling tonight for real. In particular, because I'm familiar with a couple of people. Definitely keep up with y'all on social media, on Twitter and Instagram. And so it's really an honor and a pleasure to hear what y'all had to say tonight. It was so much said, man. I tried my best to take notes, but one thing that jumps out to me was about the question of how can we be independent? How can we achieve that independence? And how is this new African movement tied in with Pan-Africanism? I feel like I've been having this conversation with various people who say that they're Pan-Africans as well over the course of these past few days. And I'm really kicking myself, man, for not inviting them to listen in to this show. I'm really bad that I didn't do that, because it was some things said tonight that I think maybe some of them would have been able to hear that it's not just a me thing. But this is a movement of African people in America, new African nation that's pushing for independence. And if I may, I ain't going to be doing a whole bunch of talking, but this one particular Pan-Africanist I was talking to said that they were a Nkrumah Tereist, and that they followed those two brothers and, you know, were kind of loosely aligned with the AAPRP. And I'm struggling to understand why this person does not understand that nationalism, like the brother Frantz Fanon talked about, that nationalism is the springboard to being Pan-Africanist, to taking your national struggle internationally and fighting for that. We know in the Declaration of Independence to talk about we fighting for a world revolution. So for us to be claiming our nationality is not in any way, shape, or form dismissing the diaspora or African people globally fighting for their independence as nations oppressed by colonialism and capitalism. And I feel like this goes over a lot of people's head. I know a lot of people haven't been introduced to the New African Independence Movement, which is a shame because it's been around longer than I've been alive. I think one of the things that we can do, that I encourage all of you as leaders of our nation to continue doing, is speaking the way in which that you speak and make New African as a national name, as a national inheritance of our people, and lead with our struggle against these oppressors. Make it a household name that everybody knows what it is. It's our historical mandate, our historical mission to gain our independence all the way back to Denmark Vesey and Nat Turner. Like, we've been trying to overthrow the rulership of these people from the moment our black feet stepped on this land. So, yes, man, honor to you all. Special shout out to Sister Coco, man. You done moved all the way from up top to down south. Man, I'm proud of you, sis. Man, I know she don't know who the hell I am right now, but I've been following this sister for a while on Instagram, keep up with her retweets, and frequently retweet them on Twitter, right? You might know me as Fleet on there. But, man, honor and respect to you. I wish a lot more people did what you're doing. Like the brother also said, man, you want to be involved in this movement, man. Put your feet in a national territory and get to work. So, again, honor to you all, including you, Sister Melly Queen, man, for doing what you're doing. And I'm really lifted. I'm really lifted being present for this show tonight.
Free the land. Thank you. Thank you. I love your comment. Thank you. Thank you always for joining us. And like I said, I'm going to send you out the email for our people's call coming up the first Sunday of every month at 6 p.m. Ooh, is it 6 p.m. Central, right?
yeah.
We have our first people's call, so I'll make sure I get you that email out so that you can join us on that call as well. I'm going to open up the next line. I'm not sure. No problem. I'm not sure the area code, but I'm going to unmute your mic. If you hear your mic unmute, come on in and introduce yourself and tell us who you are.
Free land. My name is Bumani Fakir.
What's up, Melissa Bumani? What's Free the land? How you doing tonight?
First of all, I'd like to acknowledge all y'all for the work y'all doing in the past, present, and the future, you know, and also by taking control of this medium, by putting in our new African narrative so people can see things from our perspective. The only thing I got one, historically, right, when we look into the aspects of dialectics, the new African dialect, being a new Afro-Asian nationalist is the sum of everything because it has what we term black nationalism in it, it has nationalism in it, it has cultural nationalism in it, and it also has pan-African nationalism in it. So the whole aspect is opposed to one revolutionary culture, one particular ideology, one particular system. And as you know, historically from the beginning of the new African independent movement, we had very relationship with very people in the diaspora as well as on the continent.
Wait a minute, we can't hear you, brother Bomani. Hold on a second, we can't hear you.
Okay, hello? Can you hear me?
Okay, now
yes, what I basically was saying that historically from the beginning of the African independent movement, we had a relation and connection with the various people across the diaspora as well as people in the motherland, right? So in regards to that question, in regards to our African identity, in regards to our feeling having a relationship with African, with people in Africa and other places, that is basically incumbent and imperative in regards to us being recognized as a nation. In America, it's imperative for us to have the support of Africa. It's imperative for us to have the support of people in the diaspora all over, as well as allies. And I just yield that aspect of things, you know. And I salute y'all, sister. I thank you for the work y'all doing, and the struggle continues. Free the land.
I say, free the land. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for joining us. And like I said, this has been an awesome show. I want each one of you all to give us a closing. And then, Mama Ayo, when you do your closing, can you tell us about New African Nations Day, our National Cleanup Day coming up, and our new African elections coming up in 2023. So you can go ahead, Sister Coco, with your closing. And like I said, thank you all for joining us tonight. This has been another awesome show. I love you all. Go ahead, Sister Coco.
Hey, Lynn. First, I just want to thank you, Sister Melly Queen, for putting this together. And obviously, for all the work that everyone contributes on a weekly basis, that we all come together. First Vice President Mama Ayo, President Sister Sa Ma'at, and Brother Bakir. I just want to thank all of you, and also, you know, the comments that just came on. It was great to hear some of the people come on and share their views and thoughts. But I just again want to say thank you. Because I appreciate all the work that everyone does to contribute to nation building. And again, the struggle is for land and independence. And I yield.
I say, thank you for joining us. Come on, Mama Ayo.
Thank you, Melly Queen. I'm giving all shout outs to our unit. Our unit is, of course, you know, building family and community and just, you know, helping each other grow. I'm giving all thanks and praises to be a part of every unit. And the brother who came on and spoke about the Nkrumah's Torah element of our new African independence movement, because I definitely, before I became a new African revolutionary nationalist, I was part of the All African People's Revolutionary Party. That's what forwarded me to repatriate. So I am very aware of Kwame Nkrumah is what we call the extension of Garvey's work. He launched onto an international level. And of course, in 1968, of course, the New African Independence Movement officially launched itself by declaring ourselves free and independent. All of it is connected. All of it is connected. So I thank him for his questions and his comments. And, of course, Minister Bomani, who is an integral part of the Ministry of Information, he is always promoting the New African Independence Movement, which is in alignment with what we're trying to do in our present administration. So what's coming up is, of course, New African Nation Day, celebrating 55 years in one of our national territories, which would be Charleston, South Carolina. We please go to Eventbrite and type in New African Nation Day 55 and register in whatever capacity you feel that you can, whether it's Zoom or you will be there face-to-face, and let us come together and discuss some important issues, because, of course, this year's theme is, you know, rebuilding unity on our way to plebiscite. So we are embodying the Malcolm X doctrine, so we're inviting everybody to come. Of course, please tune in every Sunday, every first Sunday, for our citizens' calls. All citizens are invited to the People Center Council calls the second Friday of every month. And next year, in 2023, we will be, after we gather at New African Nation Day, we'll be calling in a national cleanup day, New African Cleanup Day, which, of course, will be around one of our heroes, some founding fathers, Malcolm X, which will be May 20th, 2023, New African Cleanup, clean up our hood, all of us out, cleaning our environment up, because that's the kind of people we are, in alignment with nature. And, of course, New African elections will be starting in 2023. They're going to be held November 3rd, 4th, and 5th in 2023, so there will be a lot of information, again, promoted and assisting us through the Ministry of Information through our website, www.pg-rna.com. Go in, register as a citizen, find out what's going on. Founding documents are there. Study guides are there. Weigh in as to what your, fill out the New African Census. Tell us what your skill set is. You know, so that, and most importantly, gather together with the people you want to gather with and begin to study, work, and train daily. So I think that's basically all that needs to be covered. And, of course, tune in to the New African Broadcasting Association. We have different shows throughout the week. And with that, I will yield.
Ashe. Go ahead, Madam President.
I would first like to thank you, Sister Mellie Queen, for inviting us on.
Thank you.
Brothers for calling in. Thank you, my unit, for showing up, always showing up and extra strong. I mean, I'm just really, really, really excited about what this particular collective is going to do. You know what I'm saying? Because I can see everybody's heart, you know? I would like to just remind everybody that is listening, and even those that's not listening but just speaking these words, for us it always starts with self, you know? Like, every single day, we should be working on making sure that we are becoming the best new African that we can possibly be, and to make sure that we link our gifts and our talents to building something, creating something that is going to be beneficial to our nation, right? Even if it's just right now, it's just holding you and your household down. It's still a model. It's still something that can be duplicated over and over and over again, right? In terms of an institution, in terms of a business, in terms of whatever it may be, but making sure that whatever it is that we do, we are grafting it to be beneficial to not us, but to our nation and overall to the world, right? Just in our daily lives, because once we put all of this together, when we do link on a collective, it's extremely powerful. And remember, it just does not belong just to us. It belongs to all of us. So I just want to remind everybody, you know, just that constant work every day on self, We all take full responsibility for self, and hold ourselves accountable when we do come together collectively. Look, it's nowhere else but up. Nowhere else but success that we can go. And I yield back.
I say. Come on in, Brother Bakir.
Right on. Again, I'm saying Asante Sana to you, Mama Melly Queen, and everyone, you know, this particular unit and brothers who called for just, you know, being present and camaraderie tonight. Only thing that I, well, or the thing that I want to emphasize is that there is a strong need for us to continue to grow our citizenship, like in an acknowledgeable way, a recognizable way. I really, you know, am looking for and wanting to know, you know, citizens of the Republic in very real and tangible ways. And as it was stated before, because what has brought us together is the concept of study and, you know, training. Like, we haven't done a lot of training, a physical training together, but we have the intention to and the will to. And so I think as we continue forward over the next few years and coming into our you know, Nation's Day, let us start to reach out to other formations, work on ways to redeem ourselves and let go of our work through our differences, right, based on our commonalities, so that we can actualize ourselves as a physical, real and tangible nation. And it takes a lot of work. Takes a lot of stepping aside from our own egos, in a sense. And I'm saying all of that with an understanding that we must be patient with ourselves as individuals, as well as ourselves as a collective. And we also, inside of that patience, we must stay diligent, like very diligent about making ourselves, you know, or not even making ourselves who we are, but just being who we are. And with that, again, I say Asante Sana, I love y'all. Nawapendiyote. And I look forward to continuing the work.
Ashe, Karibu, Ashe, thank you all for joining us. I have enjoyed you all tonight. This has been, like I said, another awesome show. Check out our other shows. We have the new Voices of New Africa on Sundays at 12 noon, Facebook Live. We have the New African Perspective on Mondays at 1 p.m., between 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. on Mondays, Facebook Live. All these are Central Standard Times. We have Foundations of the Nations at 10 a.m. on Tuesdays, Facebook Live. And we have Conversations Between Comrades. It's on Thursday nights, 5:30 p.m. Central Time. Please keep joining us. Thank you all. I love you all. Y'all have a great night, and I'll talk to you all soon. Free the land.
Yo, need to get the truth so we can gain some power. Truth and Power Corner, Melly Queen.
Yes, welcome to the Truth and Power Corner. How are you all doing today? How is everybody doing? I got my brothers coming in. It's one of my favorite times of the day. So, you want to join us tonight? Call in at 516-387-1549. And listen in to join the call.
The truth be all up on ya, it's spreading like corona. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. We spread the knowledge from Memphis, New York to California. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. Free the land by any means, truth and power corner. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. Yo, this is real, it's not a dream, truth and power corner. Dropping black facts at this exact hour. Here to build a nation, call it black power. Rain the knowledge down like a black shower, standing tall for the people like a black tower. We take the system down and build our nation up. Ain't no replacing us, ain't no erasing us. We got the system taken, cause they be facing us. We showing world love, cause they embracing us. We fight for independence, freedom is what's intended. See, we didn't start this war, but we about to end it. Our nation, we defend it, yo, best believe we win it. Cause we always speak the truth no matter who offends. Cause they been lying to us, and they mistreating us. Police be beating us, I think we've seen enough. Long as we stick together, then we will never fail. Come on, let's fight for freedom and build a better world. The truth be all up on ya, it spreads just like corona. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. We spread the knowledge from Memphis, New York to California. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. Free the land by any means, truth and power corner. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. Yo, this is real, it's not a dream.
We are going to always continue to fight because this is our protracted fight. Salute to all of our political prisoners, POWs, elder comrades, and exiles. We are not doing enough to get them home. They are still suffering and being tortured and murdered daily. What are y'all prepared to do? Salute to all of our grassroots black media platforms and our sisters and brothers who continue to bring us the knowledge and information to keep us connected. Thank you all for your hard work and service. Salute to Republic of New Africa, Madam President Salma, Madam Vice President Mama Ayo, and our officials, ministers, ministries, leaders, and citizens of our new African nation. We encourage each of you to check us out at our website at pg-rna.com to find out more and how to support it. Donate to the nation. Free the land.